May I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do be seated. Last Sunday, we celebrated Lammas at Water Stratford with a bring and share picnic. Lammas being a celebration for the first wheat harvest. As I said, our wheat harvest has been very early this year, actually. I've been talking about wheat the last few weeks. So come August the 1st, the actual Sunday to celebrate it, we will be well past that in our local farms around and about. At the picnic, we had a quiz. Some of you were there. Quite a good little quiz. Something that we know a lot about bread, or some of us did. Bread being a staple of many countries, a staple of the people of Jesus's time, along with the fish and flocks of sheep they would have cared for. So no wonder Jesus gives us many illustrations of those things which are familiar to the crowds that gathered to hear him. Imagine images that we can reflect on, or they could reflect on in their daily life, and we bring into our hearts as we read them. Today, the last week of 3 weeks of parables, we hear about the mustard seed and the yeast. Things that are small but grow significantly when put to good use. I remember in the kindergarten I used to run, we used to have to put the children's names on little pieces of paper before the bread rolls were baked, as they sometimes would not believe that the correct roll had been given to them. It would have grown so big and large and sometimes into a new shape. Such as the mustard seed, such a tiny seed growing so large, it says it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. We hear that in the Bible. And the bread dough with yeast growing so large, the transforming growth of the yeast. These illustrations in our parables about how the kingdom of God can grow. And then we have three further parables. The first about the great joy in finding treasures that you may have been searching for and giving up everything else to have them. And the last using fishing as the imagery of the nets thrown into the sea, catching up all the fish, and the fishermen throwing back all that is not good. Looking through the BBC news pages recently, I was interested to read that Gary Lineker, the music producer Brian Eno, and many other millionaires have written to our new Prime Minister, Andy Burnham, asking to be taxed more. And I quote from the BBC website that 120 well-off Britons told Burnham, "We can afford it. We're not talking about higher taxes on those who get up and go to work for their income every day, but the very richest whose income is derived from the wealth they hold." And this letter that was sent was organised by the UK Patriotic Millionaires, which is for millionaires who have a shared mission. And I read that their mission is to leverage the voice of wealth to build a more just, stable, and inclusive economy, and to accelerate the end of extreme wealth. Now, I do not know the politics of all this, but I can see the sentiment of folk who have obtained great wealth and see that it is to be shared. Being a skeptic, I could say this could have hidden agendas. Let's set those things aside, because equally they may not have hidden agendas. The behaviour of stashing wealth, in fact, was seen in a parable we heard way back earlier in the year. If we remember back to the landowner who kept building bigger and bigger barns because he was getting more and more crops and grain, and he just wanted to store them up. That's all he could think of doing, was storing more of his wealth. And eat, drink, and be merry was the line we heard from that parable of the rich fool in Luke chapter 12. It was his produce, there is no doubt, and he worked hard for it. But he did not think to share any of his excess with others, and that was his downfall. And in our parables today, we hear of the hidden treasure. And we can take this treasure to be us discovering the joy, the gains, the wealth we have in finding faith, hope, and love in our relationship with God. That peace that passes all understanding in having Jesus in our lives. But this treasure is a false treasure if we just keep it to ourselves. It is to be shared. You know, we may find the treasure of faith and realize how rich this is, but if we just hold on to it and store it safely, maybe showing immense devotion, total devotion to God, well, honourable as this may seem, it is not actually enough. The real reward comes from us sharing this with others. In fact, that's what led me to become a vicar, because all these years I had had this total devotion to God. And then I kept feeling God saying to me, it's not yours, Paula, you've got to share this. You come to the pearly gates and say, I've looked after this really well. I've let nothing knock me down. Nobody's been able to wipe this from under my feet. I've kept really true. I've never been pulled away. And they'd say, that's not what it's for. And that is why this other parable is tagged on at the end. The fisherman casting his net wide into the sea, collecting up all the fish, sorting them, and only keeping the good, tossing back the bad. Living a rich, abundant life as a Christian is one that has the essential part of sharing this joy, this treasure with others. We may not, no, I think I can safely say, we cannot share our wealth like those millionaires I quoted from the BBC website. We do not have that monetary wealth that they have, that they've managed to get through their life. But we have a wealth that is extraordinary to many others. We may have had it so long that we forget what it is like to not have it. We may have always had our faith and not really understand that some folk don't. And sharing is not just verbally. I've just got, I like to talk, and I think that's what called me to this. Preaching the gospel to others. It is in the many, many ways of doing things that I see many of you do here today already. Just being here is sharing, making time to get here today, or to listening online for those who do, making that space, and then all the voluntary jobs you do is sharing. The many, many ways you do, all the kindness you do as you go about your day, looking out for each other, sharing your wealth in your faith, belief and hope. That is so helpful, such a blessing to others. Over the past few weeks, I've been talking about the golden box. I didn't bring it along here today, that container that is used in godly play for parables, the great treasure that we have in parables. Well, here in this Bible, we also have a great treasure that we come across so easily in this country that we do not realise just how precious it is. It's like water in our taps, how precious that is to so many countries still in this day and age. God created this world and he was very pleased with all he had created. Indeed, he loved it so much that he gave up everything in sending his son to come down amongst us, to save us all from the bad coming into the world. And having saved us, Jesus said that we are to share it so that the gospel message can grow like the crazy growth seed in the mustard seed plant, that the tiniest of seeds grows into a bush that is like a tree, large enough to make shelters in for birds to nest in, like yeast that makes flour grow in size many, many times its original size. So let us love our treasure, revere our treasure, and share our treasure. For there is ample, so much goodness from God to share with others. And so many who are in such need to hear it and feel it. Amen.